we left off with a question.
What is the difference between the two yourselves, the two versions of the phrase at the end of the Bracha Baruch Aleinu? V'sabeinu mituvecha, and as here they point out in this sitter, nusach acher mituva. So in the conclusion of the Bracha, we ask for Hashem to either satisfy us, v'sabeinu loshen of sova, of course he gave his name to the donut, v'sabeinu mituvecha, to satisfy us with your goodness, and then the other version is v'sabeinu mituva, to satisfy us with its goodness. I want to spend a bit of time analyzing each of those versions. Rav Schwab, in sticking to the text, I think that was probably the one that they use in the Breuer community, so he just notes that there are those who have Sabeinu Mituvah. I know he's quotes Mishnah Berurah, but then he proceeds to analyze and elaborate upon the Sabeinu Mituvecha, presumably because that's the nusach that they were davening in their shuls. I think it's the more popular one. I think
Paschal doesn't even bring down your time.
It has Mituvecha. Right, and it's much more popular in nusach Sfarad to do it. To have Mituvah. Okay, in any case, let's elaborate a little bit on each one. Rav Schwab's approach is just as we saw in the bracha of Baruch of Rifa'enu, that there, as well as other commentaries, have the same comment that there are two types of refuah: refuah sanefesh, refuah saguf, healing the underlying cause of the illness, which is spiritual dynamic, and the physical manifestation of it. So here too, Schwab seems to be going with the approach, if I'm understanding him correctly, is that we ask Hashem not only for physical satisfaction from the food, but also for spiritual satisfaction from the ultimate goodness, which is the Tuv Hashem, as given over through the great light of Torah and the many lights of the mitzvot. The analogy is from Rav Lesh, but in terms of the relationship to Torah mitzvot, Kinei mitzvot Torah. That seems to be the direction in which Rav Schwab is going. Just to quote one line here, that we pray that we also have a part in the future blissful existence of Ami Estuvi Yisbo'u. He quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Speaks about that when the Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael, they will come in streams and they will have wonderful physical bounty as well. Dagon, Tirish, and Yitzar, grain and oil and cattle, etc. And then the pasuk ends off, two pasukim later, that's pasuk Gidal, pasuk Gimel is Va'ami Yestuvi Yitzbo. And then they will receive my goodness, which Rav Schwab understands to be referring to spiritual goodness. I want to suggest a slightly different approach within the Girsa of Mituvecha. This is something that Rav Lef has on Eish.com in a different way. He was talking about Tamei HaMitzvos, but he develops the same idea. We spoke about this before in different contexts, about not taking nature for granted. So you think about it, you bite into a piece of bread, or pizza, or noodles, or candy, whatever it is. So in some way, there's some kind of nutrients in there. What are nutrients? So you divide them into the sugars, and the carbohydrates, and the fatty acids, and whatever else, proteins, so on and so forth. And how does that satiate? Well, the body has different enzymes in different directions and creates all sorts of different amino acids that the body needs. Now, why does that work? That's the way it is. At a certain point, that's the way it is. So as Rav Lef raised the issue in his articles. And what if you did that with rocks? What if you chopped up rocks into powder? Mixed it with some seasoning, etc., and then you had a bowl of rocks. So it wouldn't do anything. Why not? It also has material to it. Well, it doesn't have the right materials. Why is one the right materials and the other one the wrong materials? What's the difference between the two? That's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he commanded that certain things satiate. That's the way the body is programmed, to only take certain materials, not other materials. Anyway, There's a pasuk in Parashas Ekev, a very famous pasuk. It reviews the whole episode of the month, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rained down on us the bread min ha-shamayim, the lechem min ha-shamayim. And concerning the month, so Hashem describes that the reason that I gave you the man is in order to test you. And what was the test? The older generation should know, ki loyal alechem levado yichya adam, ki al kol moitza Hashem yichya adam. Al moitza pi Hashem yichya adam. That man does not live by bread alone. Famous expression. Made it in Lahavdom to other religions also. Man does not live by bread alone. Rather lives by the commandments of Hashem. So what does that mean? How did the man teach that lesson? And what does that lesson mean? So, the commentaries on the Chumash give different interpretations. But one approach, that fits very tightly with the meaning of the simple meaning of the text. I gave you the man in order to realize that you only survive based on divine command. So, one approach could be, it means that I am the source of all parnasa. How so? Because when you're a farmer, or you're a lawyer, a doctor, etc., and your salary is not coming directly min ha-shamayim, you're not have money falling down or bread falling down min ha-shamayim. So it's not so obvious that Hashem is the source of the parnasa. But when you have mon, and you realize you have nothing in the bank account, the bank account's empty, and all you're surviving on is the daily bread that you get coming min ha-shamayim, it teaches you a lesson in bitachon, that it all comes from Hashem. Good, that's one approach. But another approach could be is, let's focus on the bread itself that comes from the ground, or whatever else you're eating. That's also Motza Pi Hashem. The reason that bread satisfies, or any other food satisfies, is not because there's a runaway idea called nature that operates on its own. That in and of itself is the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Victor Miller, gave a whole shiur once on the marvel of an apple. He noted how when you're biting into something delicious, you're biting into Tov Hashem. The Rabbana Shalom is now feeding you. It's something that Rabbi Slifkin mentioned also in a different context. We mentioned this before, but this keeps coming back. It's a theme that so when the wind blows on you, that's the Rabbana Shalom blowing on you. It's not, as we said before, it's not Chalila, it's not that nature is God, but God is causing the nature to operate every single second. And it's just, we take it for granted, because we're so used to it. So perhaps that's this bracha means, Sabeinu mituvecha. When we're davening, we're realizing that it's not that you created a world, you created fruits and vegetables and grain, etc., and you gave man the ability to take these things and make them into other things, so on and so forth. But all this is tuvecha. It's your constant renewed will, and as we spoke about a lot of times in the past, based on other aspects of psukim and davening, mechadish v'tuv v'chonit ha-masiv reishis. The world doesn't operate on automatic pilot, after Hashem created it. It's not spun off. It's constant renewal. So every time that we're partaking of anything in the world, it's mituv Hashem, which could lead to an immense sense of Avas Hashem, because if one is the beneficiary of and thinks about the fact that every single time they sustain themselves, it's a direct gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, so it leads to a greater sense of appreciation and HaKadosh Tov, and a sense of wanting to reach out to that great, great being that is providing all that. Maybe that's what's included in that word Vecha. We say it in the second person, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we fully recognize, and at least we're trying to recognize fully, that all of the food, not only in a general way, but in a very specific way, that fruit, that vegetable, that those molecules sustain us because that's your will. And if they wouldn't be, well, it wouldn't be sustained. One of the Machshavasvarim we'll speak about this at length, about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man as one of the neediest of creatures, in order that they could use that awareness just to have the survival of the fittest, and just, do whatever they need to take it to survive. Or they could use that to contemplate why is it that they were made so needy in terms of that they're born without clothing and without being able to protect from the elements unless they guard themselves, so on and so forth. And common denominator with all other creatures, they need food. Now, what is that neediness meant to awaken within us? That we are totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that dependence in turn awakens within us a sense of connection to that great being and what we're supposed to do in order to be able to fulfill our mission in life. That very need for food is also something that we have to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for because of the fact that it awakens that within us. That's what they say in the Bracha of Bar Nefashos, right? Bar Nefashos Rabos V'Chesrona. So the simple shot in that bracha would mean that Hashem creates that which we lack. But many explain it means no, we're thanking Hashem for the fact that we lack. The fact that we are lacking and that we need to satisfy that lack instructs us and informs us the fact that we're in a constant need of Sevia Mituvecha. And without that we couldn't survive. So, and therefore what? So therefore we have to connect back to Hashem Yisroch. There's another girsa which many point out in the name of the Gra that he preferred that girsa. It seems to have taken at least issue amongst other places by storm. The Mavzer of based on the collected shiurim and writings of Soloveitchik Zatzal that was printed this past this year, probably Rosh Hashanah, probably in the wings, I assume, at some point. So he noted this in one of the footnotes there, the one who put it together, I think Dr. Lustiger was his name, that the Rav preferred the other Nusach, the Sevein Mituva. And I think that's ultimately based on the Nusach HaGra, that he felt that was the more proper Nusach. So here, Schwab, in quoting this Girsa, again, he doesn't really elaborate on it fully, he says it either refers to the Adama or to the Bracha. Sevein Mituva, satisfy us from the ground, or satisfy us from the bracha that I referred to, Borech Aleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, from that bracha. Both of those, the same bracha, Alpnei Adama, so Talmud of bracha, so those are Loshen Akeva, Adama and bracha. According to that pshat, so there's nothing really to be said about that other than the fact that Hashem created a world in which He renews, etc., and the tool of giving sustenance is the ground. But Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, and this is the way I believe many of the commentaries in the Siddur, outside of besides of Schwab, explain that the Tuva is not referring to the Adama, but the Ha-Adama, unless that's what Schwab means. In other words, not any land, but it's referring to the land of Eretz Yisrael. So, of course, that's readily understandable why the Taz, didn't see it inside recently, but I believe the Taz suggests such an approach. Then in Chutz La'aretz, you should say v'saveinu mituvecha, because you're not in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, you should say mituva. And it's not surprising that most Eretz Yisrael sidurim, whether Ashkenaz or Sfarad, have mituva. For example, I believe, I gotta check again, but there's a sitter that used to be very popular, and then Artko crushed the competition. So, Tfilas Kolpe. It was a very miduktak sitter, pretty much. It was very gone over carefully, and it had a lot of extras in it in the back. It had the laning, it had piyutim in it, so on and so forth. A lot of things that some people don't say at all, but it has extras in it. So it's a very good sitter. It's also a little lighter than the art school, that's why I always prefer that sitter. But I think they have a Sabeinu Mituva, for that matter. They have Sim Shalom for Mincha of Shabbos, because that's the Nusach Eretz Yisrael. Even the Ashkenazim. I'm not exactly sure why the Ashkenazim say Shalom Rav, because the Ramah Paskin is supposed to say Sim Shalom for Mincha of Shabbos, because he mentioned Torah there. In other words, the Sheet of the Ramah, anytime you're laying, you say Sim Shalom. Torah Chaim, supposed to Mayru when you're not laying. Or a typical Mincha when you're not laying. Tainis also we say Sim Shalom. There might be for other reasons as well, because saying Birch Kanim. In any case, I don't know why that somehow, that's why I think in the Siddur here, when they used to have the Tfilas Kol Peh before the art school crushed the competition. So I think they put a piece of paper over it, maybe it was in Or Chaim or some shul, where they said, no, we say Shalom Rav, not Sim Shalom, because that is the Nusach of Chutz La'aretz for many years. But the art scroll has Shalom Rav, the Tfilas Kol Peh has Sim Shalom, because that's the Nusach Eretz Yisrael. There's all the other certain different minhagim that Eretz Yisrael had. So that always had the minhag Eretz Yisrael. So most sidurim that follow the minhag Eretz Yisrael have tuva. That's the Taz's idea, that tuva and Eretz Yisrael, tuvech and chosot. Makes a lot of sense. But other sources besides the Taz seem to indicate that if it's mituva, you say mituva everywhere. So why do you say mituva everywhere? So l'chor pshat is, it's not my own idea, this is I think what the Mefarshim and the Siddur say. I just didn't get a chance to look at it this time, but I think this is where I got it from. It's based on the Midrashim that are elaborated upon by the Ramban HaChumash. We spoke about it before when we went to Birchas HaMazon, about 4 years ago, whatever. It's an ongoing shiur. We spoke about the Shulchan. But yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah, and a few weeks ago's Kriyas HaTorah, we spoke about the Shulchan. And the Shulchan had 12 breads in it. And the Gemara says about the Shulchan, about the Lechem Aponim, that the Kohanim used to eat even a little mashu, like a pull, and they would satisfy it. What's the secret of the Lechem Aponim that is so satisfying? Well, it's godly kind of food, isn't it? But is there any way to explain it a little more deeply? So the Ramban explains that Yerushalayim, being the center of Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash being the center of Yerushalayim, I'm not talking about that absolutely geographically, but spiritually, and the Beis HaMikdash being the center of Yerushalayim, so that's the headquarters. And as the Midrashim described, that's the point from which Hashem created the whole world. It's called the Evan Shasiya, the Dome of the Rock, which may or may not be under the Dome of the Rock. It's the place from which the world was created. So that's the headquarters of the world. Now, what exactly that means from which the world was created, I like to say it was the point of the Big Bang, but that's my own idea. I don't know if that's really that, you know, the whole landmass of the world spread out from that. That was, if you will, concentrated Pangaea, whatever the name of that supercontinent was. You know, that they think all the continents were one. So originally, according to Midrashim, if you take it literally, we're all one point, and then it spread out. Now, how did that spell itself out? So that point became the chosen land, and that point became the land of providence, the land of Hashgach. But there's Hashgach everywhere, but only through the conduit of Eretz Yisrael. The way the Pesukim in Parashat Ekev described, Eretz Asher Eini Hashem Elokech Abo Amei Rishis Hashona V'Rachavis Hashona, it's the land that Hashem's eyes are on from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And once Kiviyachol Hashem is down below taking care of the needs of Eretz Yisrael, so then he takes care of the other needs too. Sometimes it appears based on, as Rav spoke about before, it always has to be Bechila. Sometimes it appears a little topsy-turvy. Sometimes it appears that in terms of security and parnasa, whatever, sometimes it seems that it's easier outside. But on a fundamental plane, the headquarters of Eretz Yisrael. That's the land of, the way the Ramban very dramatically puts it, Hashem is called the God of Eretz Yisrael. He's not the God of the whole world. Of course he's the God of the whole world. But Eretz Yisrael deals with directly. All the rest of the lands, it's a spillover, and he delivers their lot to agents. Each land has a tsar. The tsar of France, the tsar of America, and the tsar of Eretz Yisrael is Dravonson himself. No intermediary. If that's the case, Ramban explains that, so the whole Hashgacha is coming through Eretz Yisrael. So what about Parnassa? So Parnassa is symbolized by the Shulchan. That's, if you will, again, these are Kabbalistic ideas, but a little bit is down to earth we can understand, just put it in words. The pipeline of Parnassa is through the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. That's, if you will, you know, so to speak, if Hashem is like pouring down the sustenance into the world, that's where it lands, and then it spreads from there everywhere else. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Shulchan, so by definition it's going to be hampered. And once when I gave the shir, someone said, yeah, but things look pretty good. I said, you ain't seen nothing yet. However, we still have to work hard for our parnasa. The degree of bounty that could be when the channels are open is infinitely greater than it is now. That's why the Ramban says that even a drop of that concentrated area would be able to satisfy. Because if you imagine, you know, they have these like nutrition pellets. Maybe you crush everything, it's just one pellet. So the Lechem Aponim was a nutrition pellet, because that's where the sustenance was poured in. So we once said a pshat, I think that the Mefarshim on the benching say something similar too, in the Eitzar Atzilus. That's why in the benching we ask for the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Re'enu Zuneinu Parneseinu, together with rebuilding Yerushalayim. What's the connection? So either we ask Hashem, absent the Beis HaMikdash, still satisfy us, even though we don't have the advantage of that conduit, Or, please bring back the Beis HaMikdash so he can be more fully satisfied. But there's some kind of link between Mikdash and Parnassah. So if that's the case, then now the meaning becomes very clear. V'sabeinu mitova, satisfy us from the goodness of Eretz Yisrael. So those in Eretz Yisrael, so it's direct. Those outside of Eretz, of Chutz L'Aretz recognize the fact that it's only through that conduit that we're getting Parnassah. So we ask Hashem, knowing this Hashkafic idea, to satisfy us from the goodness of Eretz Yisrael. Okay.
I say that. That's the person we
should.
Now I have to.
So are you.